Thank you so much, Pastor Will. It means a lot to me that you've given me this opportunity. I love you with from the very bottom of my heart and my Victory Life Church. Feels like home. And I heard this years and years and years and years ago. Let's say this quickly. A friend of mine shared this with me. He said he was out on a picnic, and they were sitting close to a road. They had a nice little blanket out there, and they were enjoying with his wife a little picnic, eating. And they heard this car going down the road and hit this little woodland creature. And they were like shattered to tears. But the man pulled over, got out of his car, went to his trunk, put out this little bottle, went over to the little creature, poured a little bit of it in his mouth, and wouldn't you know, the creature jumped up, waved at him, walked down the road a little bit, turned around, waved again, kept doing it over and over again so you can barely see it. So my friend said, I had to find out what was in that bottle. So he walked over there and he said, hey, can you tell me what that is? Because I want some. And he showed me the bottle, and he looked at it, and he read, hair restorer with a permanent wave. I wanted to keep that a little tradition we have here. Praise the Lord. Thank you for giving me this opportunity again. So we're still on the series of What's the Point. Again, my name is Alan Lewis. I've been with my wife, Lilia, right over there for over 27 years. God has been gracious to us, and I'm going to share a little bit more about that as we go forward. So if you turn with me in your Bibles or electronic devices, we're going to go back to our text, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15. And we're on the subject of what's the point. And just to quickly review the text, we find in the word of the Lord, it says this: there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search and a time to count as loss, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his struggles? I've seen the task of God has given people, I have seen the task that God has given people to keep them occupied. He has made everything appropriate. It is in its time. Let me say that one more time. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also put eternity in our hearts. I want you to remember that. But man cannot discover the work God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It is also the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all his efforts. I know that all God does will last forever. There is no adding to it or taking from it. God works so that people will be in awe of him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be already is. God repeats what has passed. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to lift up your praise, to sing your songs of Zion corporately. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would have your way in this place. Open our hearts and our minds that we might hear and find the deep treasures that are found in your word, that our hearts might be edified, strengthened, and renewed, that we might be able to stand on the promises of God and to proclaim the uncompromising gospel to whoever would give an ear to hear. We thank you and we praise you for all that you've done and all that you're going to continue to do for the uplifting of your kingdom and the propagation of the gospel message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Lord of all. In his matchless name we pray and we ask it all. Amen. Under Pastor's current thematic study, What is the Point? I would like to focus on the topic, human condition. Human condition. I know that it almost sounds like a prognosis of some kind, human condition, but it is something that Christians must contend with. We like Pastor Will said, we are addicts. We have these things that hang on to us and get us off the target of what God wants us to be doing. So I want you to kind of think about that term, human condition. It is a broad term that refers to characteristics, experiences, and challenges of a human being. It includes the positive and negative aspects of human life, such as birth, as Solomon articulated in his discourse, learning, emotions, aspirations, reasons, a morality, conflict. All of these things make up this condition of life that we must contend with as believers. I have embarked on a journey. In addition to everything else I have going on in my life, I decided to go back and get my PhD at OSU. I know that sounds crazy. And I'm sitting there in class, and we're talking about all of these different philosophical perspectives and ontology. And I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, we studied these articles that these people have written, and we have to determine what is the ontology of this article. What is their approach to their study? Is it a positivist point of view? Is it a post-positive point of view? Is it an interpretist point of view? I'm like, after you get through this whole article, they can't tell you the reason why. All they can do is report. And I'm asking myself, what is the point of, if you're going on and doing this research, if you can't tell me the reason why? And I'm going to tell you why. The only person that can tell you the reason why of whatever life ails you is Jesus Christ. So I'm asking myself, am I in the wrong place? You know, but I said, and I felt like God told me, yeah, I put you here for a reason so you can share my love with all these people that are trying to find the answers that they're not going to find in these articles. So I said that to say this. In this Christian perspective, a mathematician by the name of Blaise Pascal said this: man's greatness and wretchedness are so evident that the true religion must necessarily teach both. Any philosophy that cannot fully account for human greatness and human depravity at the same time should be abandoned because it misses something obvious about the human condition. Christianity has a valid explanation for human greatness. People are made in God's image. Thus, we have dignity, value, and capacity. Christianity also explains human evil. The image of God has been defaced by sin. Our great capacity gets used for the wrong purposes. Our creativity is placed in the service of evil, and our best intentions twisted for selfish gains. As Solomon has found in the text during his journey, apart from God, there was no satisfaction or completeness. There was always a piece of the puzzle in his life that was missing. But when we as believers take that step back and look at our situation from a 30,000-foot point of view from Scripture, we will find that God has an appropriate time for everything in our life. Let's take a look back at the scripture really quickly. There is, in verse 3, there is an occasion for everything and a time for every capacity under heaven. I want to stop there for just for a minute. Solomon is referring to two specific references to time. One, as our pastor said before, a specific point in time, like 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. And the second is a season of time. Some of your translations may refer to it as a duration. And we all know how we feel when we feel like we've been in one place too long or not long enough. All right? Let me tell you a quick story. Because my wife and I told you I wasn't come back to her. We've been on a journey for the last 4 years. And we, because of COVID and all of that, we transitioned from California to here. And when I was here initially, when I first came to Victory Life, I was kind of bootlegging, to be perfectly honest. I'm going to be completely transparent. I was telecommuting for the County of San Bernardino bus. I was supposed to be closer to my job, but I was in Oklahoma telecommuting. But that season was running out, and I had to find a job. And many of you know, because I confided in you, hey, I need a job. I believe God's calling us here. I need a job. Something's got to happen because I'm running out of sick time. I'm running out of vacation time. I'm trying to figure this out by myself. Right? And I was applying to OSU and all of that. And then my wife said, why don't we just start selling tamales, right? Let's just start our business, right? So we were out in Walmart selling tamales, and the Walmart came out and said, you can't sell here. So we moved over to Burger King. We started selling over by Burger King. You can't sell here. We moved across the street to the oil change place, and you can't sell here. And I said, well, wait a minute. The county says we need a commercial kitchen. Hillcrest has a commercial kitchen. I've sown in the Hillcrest. I know the pastor, so let's go talk to Hillcrest, right? So Pastor John Dickey said, yeah, come on over. You can use our kitchen. Just tithe off of whatever God blesses you with. I'm like, sure, let's do that. So we started going over there. Then the church board said, we can't be here anymore because we're afraid that something's going to happen to our tax exemption status. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I said, God, I've sown in this church. They allowed us to come over here. We need a commercial kitchen. I said, Pastor John, can I send them an email, please? So I'm in my office and I'm sending them this email. I'm like, I've sown, I've been in ministry for 30 years and I've never been treated this way. I'm angry, right? So I sent the message and that's right. They're gonna give me more time, right? So they said, all right, you have until December 31st. And I said, oh, okay. I still don't know where I'm going. And Pastor John's asked me, do you have any place to go? I'm like, I don't know yet. So I came here that Sunday mad. I said, Lord, you're not doing anything. And I walked in here and Nick was sitting right here. Nicholas Keene was sitting right there. And he said, Alan, come here. He said, y'all still want to buy small cakes? And I said, yes. Yeah, we'll buy small cakes. And then right there, God said, see, you were telling those poor believers over there what you thought, but what you didn't know is that I had stuff working over here for you, but you just could not see it yet. You know? And owning small cakes is great and everything. And I want you to listen to me on this. What was even better was the relationship that was built between Nick and Kaylee and my wife and myself. And I said, Nick, he goes, well, aren't you happy? I'm like, yeah, I'm happy, but I'm kind of sad because you're leaving. You know, and I said, I know we're both men, Nick, but you know, I love you, man. He goes, well, Alan, you can still call me. I'm just a phone call away. But my point is, there's a time, there's a season for everything in your life. And you might want to stay there, but God is trying to move you to another place so that he can bless you. And know how pastors are always saying he's not trying to take anything from you, but he's trying to get something to you, but you have to trust him enough to carry you on to the next place in your life. Sometimes believers have a problem with duration, but God's trying to get something to you. Let me move on. In the text, the author Solomon goes on this poetic discourse, you know, utilizing 14 polar opposites, of which each happens in a specific time. The Waldenberg Zuck commentary says this: the fact that Solomon utilizes polar opposites in multiples of seven and began his last with birth and death is highly significant. The number seven suggests an idea of completeness, and the use of polar opposites is a well-known poetic device called mirism, meaning totality. By the time Solomon has arrived at the end of this discourse, he has an epiphany, as I did in my last illustration. He had this aha moment. We as believers must understand what Solomon was going through when he was writing this. He realized three things, and I want you to take these home with you today. He realized three things, and they're right here in Scripture. Number one, he has made everything appropriate in his time. Number two, he has also put eternity in our hearts. And like my brother said earlier, Dustin, sometimes we gloss over things when we read them. But he said Solomon wrote this for a reason. Number three, man cannot discover the work of God that God has done from the beginning to the end. We don't see the end in the beginning. We only see right now. And sometimes we think we need stuff. I need this right now. I need an answer right now. Okay? He has made everything appropriate in this time. I would like to utilize the Apostle Paul here as a comparison. In Philippians 4, 11 through 13, it says this: I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And I believe that's something that we all need to work on. Because that is an opportunity to exercise our faith and our trust in God. God knows your situation, but he also wants you to learn how to trust him. And Paul said, hey, I've been in lack, I've been in plenty. It doesn't matter what situation I am in, but I know that God has control over my situation. Right? He has also put eternity in our hearts. I'm going back to the Apostle Paul again, 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, and he has put his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So if God has specifically put his seal on you, you've identified him as Lord and Savior of your life. God has come back and said, hey, I see you. I'm going to put my seal on you, and I'm going to tell you. You're going to go through some things now. But it doesn't matter what you go through. My seal is still on you, and I've got your back. You're taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything as long as you put your faith and your trust in me. A songwriter wrote these words, and I don't know if any of y'all know who Albertina Walker is, but every time I get in my car and I feel like I need to hear some old gospel music, I put her on, and she sings these verses here. I'm just a stranger. Yes, I am. and I'm traveling through a barren land, I know there's a building not made by hands. She knows that she's going, the songwriter wrote, we're going through some things. And this, whenever, this time that I'm in this place is temporary. Let me take you back again to what Pastor Rule said. This time that we're living on earth is going to be the shortest time ever. But when we make it over, when we see, we make it to that place in heaven, that's going to be forever. That's eternity. So what you're going through now is temporary. Don't focus on it. Focus on Christ. Look to the hills from which where your help comes from. All of our help comes from the Lord. Man cannot discover the work God has done from the beginning to the end. I want to share a very familiar passage of scripture with you, Luke 15, 17 through 24. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. I'm going to stop right there. Sometimes we feel like we've done something so bad that there's no way back. But let me tell you something. I know I'm speaking to someone here. It doesn't matter what you have done. God still loves you. And like the example in this passage, the father saw his son from afar. You cannot get so far away from God that you cannot be rescued, but you have to come to your senses and realize that God loves you, and all you gotta do is turn around and go back to him. And the father in this passage of scripture got up, he saw his son, and he ran to him. Remember, the pastor was always saying, God is running after you. Doesn't matter how far away you get, God will run after you and save you from your situation, but you gotta open your heart to him. You gotta realize, hey, I can't do this myself. I can't do this without your help. I need your strength. I need your joy to help me out of my situation. And the son came to his senses, and he went back to his father, and the father said, get the fatted calf, put the robe on him, put some shoes on his feet. God has everything that you need, but you got to turn around, come to your senses, and run back to the father. I know that there is nothing better for them to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It's also a gift of God. Whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all his efforts, I know that all God does will last forever. There is no adding to it or taking away from it. God works so that the people will be in awe of him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be already is. God repeats what has passed. I struggled with this verse for a while, and it finally hit my spirit last week sitting in my office. I'm like, Lord, what is this? What are you trying to tell me here? And these words dropped in my spirit. He does not want us to forget. Like Pastor Will always says, and I can hear him saying it all the time, his story, history, his story, history. God does not want us to forget what he has done. Because what he's already done in the past, he's ready to do it for us now. Did you get that? What he's already done in the past, he doesn't want you to forget about it, because that opportunity, what he did in the past, God can and will and has a desire to do for you. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And all he wants you to do is to live in light of eternity. Because trying to beat your head against the wall and do this day-to-day thing, like has been repeated all through service today, you can't do that without living in light of eternity. I mean, Pastor Will's made it so clear, we don't live up to the law, we live it out. We live it out every day in our life because we're living in light of eternity. We're serving a God who we have faith and trust and believe in, because one day we're going to be reconnected with him in a different way. But you have to live in light of eternity. You can't live your life apart from God, trying to beat your head against the wall to earn a buck. But when you live in the light of eternity, with your heart and your mind fixed on the Lord, everything looks different. And that is the realization that Solomon came to at the end of this discourse. I want to share this scripture with you. Isaiah 43:9. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." The word of our God shall stand forever. The word of our God shall stand forever. If you put your trust in the Lord, then the word is in you. As I bring this message to a close, I want to share an experience that I had the other day. Ooh, are you okay? Thank you, Holy Spirit. My wife and I live in a rural area of Stillwater. And she's going to laugh when she hears this. I was out in the backyard. We have two dogs. We have a Siberian Husky and a German Shepherd. And I was inspecting the yard because, like I said, I'm going to be completely transparent. It has been a cool minute since I've been out in the backyard. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of stuff in the backyard, everywhere. And what can I do? So I got a shovel and a trash can, and I started working the yard. And I thought to myself, this is must what have been like for Moses when he went back to work for his father-in-law. And it took me about an hour to pick up all that stuff. And it filled up my trash can. And as I was doing that, the word, I felt like God spoke to me again. And he said, "Alan, this didn't get this way overnight. You kind of let it go, right? But what I want you to realize, it's the same thing with us. We hold stuff in our heart and we let it linger, and we let it fester, we allow it to take over who we are. But what I want you to understand is that God will transform you. He will change you into the person, the man or woman that He created and redeemed you to be. But in order for that to happen, you have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to hold on to this stuff that I've been carrying around for years? Or am I going to turn it over to the Lord and let Him transform me and change from the inside out? The decision is yours. Now, I have to go back to that yard because I still have two dogs. But here's a difference. When you give stuff over to God, He's not going to turn around and give it back to you. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to lean on Him and let Him take over that stuff that you have been holding on to. Bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here today in the sanctuary or back in the vestibule, watching the big screen, or you're watching us online at home, the opportunity to lay all of your cards on the table is today. And to say to the Lord, I realize that I screwed up and I choose to walk in a new direction. As the prayer team makes their way to the front, I want to have an opportunity to pray for you. I believe the Lord is speaking to you. If you believe the Lord is speaking to you and you're ready to walk in a new direction, we as a body of believers want to partner with you in your decision. So we're all going to pray this prayer together. Father God, I realize that I've messed up, but I know that You still love me, and nothing can separate me from Your love. I'm making my confession of faith. Father God, I need Jesus. Jesus, I submit my life to You. And I want to make You the Lord of my life. Thank You, Father, for loving me. Thank You, Father, for redeeming me. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.